Dylan and Marlette to join me up on the stage. And Johnny, you can come afterwards. You can sit for now. I asked Johnny to share with us as well. So Dylan and Marlia actually worked on a sermon together with me. And I don't know if you guys know, but Dylan and Marlia visited Shofar Polokwane last week. We were able to send them from our midst to go and minister there and preach in Polokwane. So God's also doing a good work in their lives. God's really preparing them. And our heart as a church is not to become a big church that holds everyone, but to send people out in the field. So we're excited about God's plan for you guys. We're not sure, we're uncertain, but God is at work, amen? And so I just asked them, because we worked on this together, to share a little bit of a testimony. What I feel we need to... I feel a word for us, and that is that if we are uncertain, God is at work. And isn't that true? Amen? And so, without me speaking too much, I'm just going to give to Marlia to kick us off.
Morning, everyone. It is such a privilege just to share a bit of my story. So, I grew up in a nominal Christian home where it was more about the religion than the relationship with the Lord. And went to school, always seeked love and worth in sporting activities and adventure. So after school, I studied physiotherapy at Tygerberg and went to Shofar Tygerberg at that time. And during that time, I wanted to get baptized, but it was something that happened in my head and not really in my heart. I wasn't prepared to make the 180 degree turn at that stage. So my friend challenged me and she told me, ask the Lord when. And I remember praying and asking the Lord. And in a dream, he gave me a coin with a city on. I did not know what it meant. I was very uncertain about what this meant. So after varsity, with that in the back of my head, went to do CompServe, and after CompServe, I started working in Hermanus. So I came to Shofar Hermanus, and that's really when things started unfolding in my life. I remember I was the person that sat close to the door, and before Pastor Andre said amen, I was out of here. I didn't want to talk to anyone, until one day this question arose in my heart about how do I make the Lord my first love? And during that time, I had this heartache, and it felt like my heart was stabbed with knives. I was really hurt, and I remember driving around in Hermanus one night, crying, and just asking the Lord, and I'm telling him, I can't do this anymore. I felt like I messed up, and the whole way I was crying. And he told me, and I told him, I want to start over. Just get me out of Hermanus. I want to start over. I can't do this anymore. And I remember him telling me, Maria, you can start over, get baptized. And with that still at the back of my head, trying to figure out this hurt feeling and sorting it out with running in the mountains, seeking adventure, I started really realizing I had two options my whole life. I can either continue seeking God's love in adventure, in people, in sporting activities, or I can get the love from God himself. And when I realized that, a radical change happened in my heart, and I decided to get baptized. I remember I went to Carla and Louis one night to tell them I want to get baptized, and they challenged me with a question, Maria, if you never meet your husband, or you never get married, will the Lord be enough for you? And that was quite heavy for me because I really had the desire to be married and have a husband. But I realized it's a very important question in my search for making the Lord my first love. So, we decided to baptize me the next Sunday. And as I was going home writing this on my calendar, I realized that the date was the 30th of May. And I was jumping up and down, because the Lord showed me this coin with a 30 on 5 years back. And he remains faithful to the promise that he gave me 5 years back already. So after my baptism, I experienced the Lord unconditional love like never before. And I started running for him. And I just want to encourage you that if you are searching for the Lord, keep on searching, because he is working without us knowing it.
Amen. Amen. Maybe after my testimony, you'll hear that God can put two people together, one with a seemingly good upbringing and someone else with a much more poor story. And so God is able. And so, in a nutshell, I should not be standing here this morning if you look what has happened in my life. And so I was brought up in a family, also a conservative upbringing, also in the Dutch Reformed Church. Many good things that came from that. I was one of three brothers. We had one mother, but three different fathers. And so my mom never married my father. My father was a very good man, but not very present. I remember up until later in my life, I would have kissed him on his mouth when I would have greeted him. And so there was this love, but there was this tension of him not knowing how to be a father. And so as life continued, being brought up in this family where my mom had to grow up single-handedly, three boys, she was a very hard-working mother. I remember as time progressed, she never married either of our fathers. A man featured in her life, which was an old friend, and she decided to marry this man. And I remember at the later stage of my high school upbringing, my mom marrying this man, I had an encounter with the Lord one day during break time. I was in high school, Higgenwit, in Springs. And I remember that one break, I walked into small group and my life started to change. But my circumstances did not change as much. There was still a lot of uncertainty. I remember I went back and life continued and I was finding my way through high school, very difficult. And I remember this man that my mom married tried to force me into a direction studying engineering, where I felt the prompting from the Lord to study theology and entering the full-time ministry. And this man was good and there was a lot for him, but I felt this was the enemy trying to derail my future. And so life continued, 2 years went, and I was persistent in studying theology. My mom finally divorced this man. Unfortunately, it was a very abusive relationship. I remember at times I had to pull this man off my mom, just very sad actually. And I remember that was also God's way to bring forth the season of studying theology. So being radically saved and had this encounter during school when I was 16, God made a way and I started studying theology. And in this time starting to study theology, I remember I was about 20 years old, and my biological father committed suicide. I was sitting in front of my books and I had this call from a family member breaking this sad news to me. And I remember my whole world shattered. And you would think that this man wasn't that present, but it was my father. He was the identity giver and now he was gone. So there was no way to go back to him, to sit down and have conversations with him and make things right that were a bit sour at that stage. And so there I went, finished my full-time studies, theology, and I was employed by a church. 6 months into this employment, this head pastor felt the call to come to Hermanus. And here we came to Hermanus, came as a team to plant a church. And in 2019, up until the end of 2019, we planted this church. And due to a lack of strategy and also a lack of trust, this church plant unfortunately failed. And I was left here alone, fending for myself. And it was a very, very tear point for me in my life. So firstly, this disappointment in upbringing, brokenness. My father left me, the most set in stone departure that any man and any woman can make in this life. And now this church leadership disappointed me, left me alone. I had to fend for myself. I remember in the season, God really broke up this keys to life. Is to stay faithful to him. Stay faithful to his word, even when there's a lot of uncertainty. And I remember I stayed faithful to the house of the Lord. And so whether we had church in this church that we tried to plant and now this church is gone, I remember coming to this church and just being a part of what God was doing here. Finding myself in this family, bringing my part, practicing my gift, loving other people, being slotted into community. And so I do not know what your story is. I don't know what you have been through in your past. But this one thing that I've realized and come to the understanding is that God is still working in uncertain times. And I want to encourage you to trust Him. You might be going through an uncertain time now, or you have gone through something uncertain, or even the future might be uncertain at this stage. But I want to encourage you to hold dear to the Lord. Consult your community. Speak to those that you know has input in your life and pray through it and see that God doesn't just always want to bring us out on the other side with everything that we desire and want, because He's interested in our character. He wants to bring us closer to Him. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Wow. My younger broer, I'm Johnny.
Good morning. Wow, what a testimony. You know, I believe, of course it is a fact, that God has prepared good works in advance for each one to walk in them. God het vir ons goeie werke voorberei, sodat ek en jy daarin kan wandel. Now, I used to be a pharmacist in Franschhoek, and at the age of about 54, my retirement was winking at me, and I was preparing for a good retirement. To vang die Here my met 'n slaprem. I never intended I never thought it would, my life would turn out the way it did, but God was busy in me. One day in December 1994, a previous pastor's wife walked into the shop. She greeted me. I said, "Where have you been? What are you doing here?" She said, "Oh, for the past 4 months, we've been doing missionary work in the Ukraine." And I made the fatal mistake. I said, "You know, I've always said, because I was an elder in the church, I thought I better say something spiritual now." So I said, "You know, I've always said to the Lord, if He does want to use me, I wouldn't mind going to Russia." She said, "Are you serious? Look at the goosebumps." And I knew I'd painted myself into a corner now. I can't say, sorry, I made a joke. Within 3 days, we got an invitation from Ukraine, "Please come and join our mission effort there." And I thought, well, now I better try and squeeze out of this. So I said to them, "Okay, I'll come for 4 months. That's all. I'll just come for 4 months." And I knew it, they wouldn't accept me. So I got a fax. 4 months would suit us perfectly. And together with that, I got a form that I had to fill in. And one of the questions was, "What is your ministry?" So I said to my wife, I said, "What is our ministry? We put out the cups for tea in the morning. We arrange the chairs. We clean the toilets. And I preach and we lead the worship. What is our ministry?" So I thought, now I'm going to give them the final. Now they want to accept me. So I just wrote across that page. I said, "I am a very emotional man. I cry very easily. And my wife has got an infectious laughter. If you can use that, we prepare to come." And I knew this was now the final nail in their coffin. So I waited 2 weeks for a reply. "We believe we can use your ministry. Please come." So, and that is how we landed in the Ukraine. The 4 months turned into 23 years. But there, my wife and I embarked on a journey of knowing God that we would never have been able to know Him had we said no to His call. I had arranged my life for myself, but then God intervened. So many of us sê, ons sing daai lied, waar hy lei, daar sal ek meegaan. Where he leads, I will follow. But as soon as the call comes, then we've got all those excuses. What about finances? What about my family? What about this? We've got those. But if we move by faith, God is faithful. Amen.
I'm not going to preach. I want to share two testimonies and then I want us to pray. My first thing I want to share is that when I was in high school, a lot like Malia's testimony, I tried to find life in every area where you can achieve something. Academically, with sports, and whatever you can think of. And all those things, when I got to the top of a mountain, there was nothing there for me. And I was always thinking, the next thing, the next party, the next girlfriend, the next, that will do it. If only I get there, I know what I want, that's what I want, then I'll be fulfilled. And every time I came to that mountain, I was alone there. And then one day I walked into a church. A little church was called First Love in Wellington. And it was, this is not a charismatic church, okay? compared to First Love. So the first day I walked into that church, now you must understand, I'm in the high school, I'm a jock, I need to keep up appearances. And when I went into that church, people were running with flags. People were crying. There was a man doing a prophetic dance. I've never seen a man dance like that. And I thought, where's the door? I just want to be near to the door. This will hurt my, if my friend sees me in this place, I'll be done. But I did not go up out the door. I ended up on the floor. Because the pastor, I remember what he was doing that morning. He had a big jug of water, and he was holding a glass, and he said, some of us wants to drink from the Lord like this. But then the next moment, he took the glass, and he threw it over his face, like everything there happened with full expression. And he said, if you don't want all of God, this will not work for you. And I'm not emotional compared to most people. But that day, I was on the floor on my knees. And what I was looking for on all those mountains, I found in Jesus. He has been a rock and a certainty for me in my life since that day. My search is over. I've never turned away from the Lord since that day. I was 18 years old, and I got baptized 2 months after that, and I got onto a bus to the first year's camp, the Shofar Christian Church, first year's camp, and I was the evangelist. 2 months saved on a journey, and I've learned in my time of uncertainty and seeking, similar to Marlea, there's only one, and that's him. A few years later, I married my high school sweetheart, which is my wife, Junaid. And we were in the ministry in Shofar, Cape Town, as a young pastor's couple, and a need arose to plant the church. Now, what you must understand, we're in Cape Town. We were born and raised in Wellington. We also Boerlanders, ne? Daar was 'n liedjie lank terug. My hart verlang na die Boerland, ne? Well, we grew up in the Boerland. But in the meanwhile, God was working out a plan that we were not privileged to all the information. He was working in a place, not in the Boerland, in Secunda. There was a few engineers that came to the Lord in Shofar Stellenbosch, and they went up and they said, we're going to serve the Lord in this town. They planted a small group exploded. There was now 20 people. The following year, there was 25 people, and this thing was growing, and the church leadership came to us and said, we've got this wonderful opportunity for you guys to go to Secunda. And we went home that night and we cried because we just knew it was the Lord. I remember the first time when we went there just to visit the people. I heard something in the bathroom in the middle of the night. It was my wife. It was the winter. It's cold there, and she's on the bathroom floor crying because now we know that the Lord is drawing us, but in our flesh we are fighting. Have you ever experienced that? You're like, you hear the call, Reslant. And you know it's God, and you, jou kaartjie is geboek in die koninkryk. You just know it. So back in Cape Town, we must now prepare an answer. Like, are we ready to go? Back then, we didn't have children. Our first two children, they're basically born in Secunda. They want to go back there. They like it more. They like it better there. Our last one was born here. I went up the mountain one day, and I'm like, Lord, we need to give an answer to our leadership now. You need to speak with me. I'm very uncertain. One day I feel I can find an excuse and stay. But I think I hear you call, but I want you to speak with me. And that day the Lord spoke with me as clearly as the day when I heard him whisper to me that Janae is my wife. I should proceed to pursue a relationship with her and marry her. In a similar way, I heard his voice that morning on the mountain. I was standing on Table Mountain. You can go up with your car quite high. It was still a misty morning. I was looking over the ocean, over the waterfront. I know the buildings. I know how those mountains move because I used to ride them on my mountain bike most days. But now I was there on my car and I was praying. And the Lord said to me, he gave me Psalm 16. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Behold, I have a good inheritance. And the Lord said to me, if you go to Secunda, which I'm calling you to, look at Cape Town. Look at this place. Where you are going, I will make it prettier than anything you can see right now. And I was just laughing. I'm like, that's not possible, but I trust you. But it was. But it was, because people are more beautiful than mountains. Amen. And people are more important than an ocean. And next to God, you are sitting next to the most beautiful creation in the world, people. And my heart for you this morning, and I want us to pray, is that you were made in the image of God. You are also a people, okay? You're a person. And in the same way, maybe you connect with Marlia's testimony this morning, maybe with Dylan, maybe with Johnny, Tani Delesti, maybe with my story. But I want to tell you that God is busy in your life right now. He knows. If you find yourself in an uncertain time, I want to tell you that God is already at work. What you have to do is bring your ear to his chest and trust him. Amen? Amen? I want us to pray this morning. Let's stand in this place. Let's respond to the testimony of God's people. If you're a small group leader or facilitator, will you just make your way to the front, please? I just feel we need to pray and love for a whole lot of people this morning. We want to help you by putting a hand in yours and being there for you in a time of uncertainty. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this morning we stand before you, the God who knows everything. There's nothing uncertain for God. We are uncertain because, like your words say, you are in heaven and we are on earth. We are not God. We do not always know. Sometimes we are uncertain, but you are not. And so we worship you. That's why we lift our hands, Lord, to say, over and above us, there you are, busy, working, leading, inviting us close to you, and putting us on track in this world, like Ephesians 2 verse 10 so powerfully say, that there was works prepared for us for the foundations of the world. First group of people we want to pray for this morning is, if you want to come out of uncertainty, if the uncertainty is your relationship with the Lord, you're not sure where you stand with Him, then this morning is an opportunity for you to move from uncertainty to certainty and put your hand in His. Amen. Then we want to pray with you this morning. We want to give you a book. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that when it comes to your faith, you move this morning from uncertainty to certainty. Jesus says, anyone who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So this morning, if you hear His call, if you sense on your heart that He spoke to you and He's drawing you in, then in accordance with that faith in your heart, we want to pray with you and we want to be there for you in the moment where you submit your life to the Lord. So if you this morning want to say, hey, I'm coming back to the Lord, or I'm coming to Him for the first time, then we want to pray with you. I want to count to three, and I want you just to put your hand up high and say, that's me. I'm going to get certainty around that this morning, my standing with God. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like me. You went up many mountains. They're all empty. I can tell you, they're all empty. There's one that fulfills. His name is Jesus. And if you want to commit to Him this morning, when I say three, just put up your hand. One, two, three. Say, that's me. I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to give my life to the Lord. Is there anyone like that this morning that wants to recommit their life into the hands of King Jesus? We would love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, if there's anyone who in this moment maybe feels afraid, I pray that you'll do the work, that you will accomplish the work in that heart in the name of Jesus. Then we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you around uncertainty in many areas of your life. And we've got a lot of facilitators. They're going to cover you in prayer. We want to pray with you if you are uncertain about your future. You don't know where to go from here. You are uncertain about your future. We want to pray with you. If you are uncertain about a relationship, your family, your marriage, your children. If I say uncertainty and you think people, we want to pray with you. We want to be there for you. If you are uncertain about how you will provide, how you will eat, we want to pray with you this morning, because God is already at work. If you've got a broken heart, maybe something happened in your life, then what happened to Dylan, maybe someone passed on, and you feel uncertain, we want to pray with you. So I'm going to count to three. If any one of those things count to you, quickly take a step of faith and meet us here in front. We'll pray with you. One, two, three. Let's move in this place. Let's take a step of faith. Thank you for that faith. Thank you for your faith. If God is speaking to you, just take a step of faith so that someone can pray with you. It starts with a step. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your faith. Is there anyone else? We're going to pray with you. People are responding because God is at work in this place. They're going to pray with you. Can I get some more male facilitators, please? Thank you so much. Awesome. There's still people coming. If you want to pray with someone, quickly come out. We're going to pray with you. We're going to support you and be there for you. Praise the Lord. Okay, there's no spectators here this morning. Let's all partake. I want you to take your seat. If you are in the back, I want you to take your seat. And I want you to ask your friend or your spouse or the person with you, is there an area of uncertainty in your life that I can pray with you for? All right? You're welcome to take your seat. Just ask them, how can I pray for you this morning? Is there anything related to this so that I can be there for you in this regard and pray with you? I just want to formally dismiss this meeting to allow the 10 o'clock church to come in as we go. You can ask that person that you prayed with or are still praying with. You can take them on a coffee date. That's one thing that's for certain. There's coffee at the back and coffee on the outside. Host someone, love someone, make a friend. God bless you and see you next week.